Chapter 28. Aftermath. Blood is life. An unusual welcome. He found Dagotal after the battle. First, he came across his brother's jet bike, powerless and half buried in the Urgal dirt. Not crashed. Abandoned. Abandoned when the change took place, abandoned in favour of running and killing with one's own claws. He moved on, stepping over the bodies of slain Raven Guard, their white legion symbol tarnished by mud or split by savage weapons. A warrior nearby still lived, his breath straining from a broken mouth grill. With a reaching claw, Argiltan enclosed the Raven Guard's neck, squeezing the soft armour there and ending the warrior's life with a popping crackle of destroyed vertebrae. There was no flood of endorphins from a hunger momentarily sated. With each minute that passed, Raum's consciousness ebbed from Argiltar's mind with a helpless loss of sand slipping through his fingers. With a demon's recession, Argiltar's own instincts and emotions rebuilt themselves in his mind. In place of bloodlust and unnatural appetites, he felt hollow and used, and so very, very tired. His shadow stretched before him, made uneven by the dead bodies it fell across. Great horns curled from his helm. His body was a nightmare of protruding bone ridges and crimson ceramite. His legs were... he didn't even have the words. They were jointed like a beast's hind legs, a wolf or a lion, and ended in huge hooves of black bone. His warplate still covered them, leaving his silhouette like the shade of a creature from unholy myth. Argiltal turned from his shadow. A wet, burbling growl rumbled in his throat. That scent. He snuffed the air twice. Familiar? Yes. He stalked away, letting his shadow fall across other bodies. There. Dagotal. A blackened thing, ripe with the scent of baked blood and life reduced to ash. Grey and red armour was strewn all about him, making his husk the cremated statue at the heart of a fallen word-bearer's pack. In the deepest distance, bolters still chattered. Why? The battle was over. Prisoner execution, perhaps. It did not matter. Still infused with the aftermath of Raum's inhuman perception, he sensed the others approaching. All of them resembled Argiltal to some degree. Malnor was a twitching, brutish thing, his bunched musculature claimed by frequent spasms. Torgal hunched as he moved, his faceplate moulded into a snarling face entirely lacking eyes. Argiltal knew without asking that Torgal was blind. Perhaps he was aided by scent and sound, but he hunted by the demonic awareness of mortality nearby. Instead of the claws most of the Galvorbach now sported, Torgal's arms ended in lengthy bone blades, hooked like primitive scimitars. Jagged, knuckly teeth roughened the surface of them, showing where they'd once been his chain blades. 11 of the Galvorbach remained alive. Korax had slain over 24, their dismembered parts now scattered over a nearby area, red amidst the grey. In the heat of the battle, it had been an easy matter to ride Raum's perceptions, discarding the fragmentary pulsing pain of his brother's lives ending. But now, in the bitter dusk, their absence was harder to ignore. Their loss left him cold. With the passing minutes, Argiltal could feel the demon's quiet, small presence wrapped in a crippling exhaustion. Raum was not gone, nor truly distant. The demon slumbered, its cold weight seeking to warm itself within the word-bearer's mind. The horrendous changes inflicted upon his body and armour began to undo themselves at last. Ceramite cracked and resealed. Bony protrusions sank back beneath his skin, dragged back into the bones from whence they came. As Ingathel had promised so long ago, it was not a painless process. But by now the Galvorbach had passed through the fire of that particular torment. Pain was just pain, and they'd endured so much worse. A few grunted as the changes unwrought, and their Astartes physiques reformed, but none voiced a lament as bones creaked and muscles condensed. Still, they'd been seen. Warriors from the other legions had seen them during and after the battle, and made their distasteful fascination shown in varying measures. The Night Lords seemed particularly unwilling to approach the Galvorbach. When Argiltal had neared Sevatar, the captain had removed his helm to spit acid on the ground by the word-bearer's feet. The sons of Horus, the War Master's own, were more willing to approach and speak of the change. Argyltal was unwilling to indulge them, but Zaphon, the slowest by far in resuming his Astartes form, seemed all too keen to enlighten the sons of what the future held for the gods' chosen warriors. Argyltal waited an hour for his bones to cease their creak-aching, but the sense of relief was nothing short of divine when he disengaged his collar seals and pulled his helm free. The battlefield stank of engine breath and chemical-rich blood, but he had no sense to spare for anything beyond the feel of the wind rushing over his face for the first time in so many weeks. Bootsteps, heavy and assured, came from behind. He knew who it would be without needing to turn. "How does it feel?" came the expected voice. "Strong, pure, righteous. But then cold and hollow. Violated." Argyltal turned to meet the other's eye. "I feel the demon within me now, weakened and slumbering. Even after knowing the change would grip and fade in tides like this, it was like nothing I can describe. I am uneasy in the knowledge it will happen again, but I also feel anticipation for it. I lack the words to do it justice." "We saw you fight," said the other. "The blessed sons, indeed." Argyltal sighed, still enjoying the world's air instead of the filtered oxygen of his warplate. "I was spiteful to you before the battle, master. I ask forgiveness." Erebus's smile didn't reach his lips, but the momentary warmth of sincerity showed in his gaze. "Master, no more." Argyltal broke the look to stare out over the battlefield. Thousands and thousands of armored bodies, hundreds of wrecked tanks, gunship hulls still burning in their craters, roaring cheers from the ranks of the world-eaters as they gathered skulls, the buzzing grind of chain blades as the warriors of seven traitor legions looted the dead for trophies and relics. "I do not regret taking the sword instead of the Crozius all those years ago. As I've proven so many times since, I lack the words to be a preacher." Erebus came alongside his former pupil, looking out over the desolation. His armor showed clear signs of the battle, cracked and scorched all over. Erebus was never one to send his warriors into battle without leading them in himself. The bas-relief etchings of his deeds in neat Colchisian were discolored by burn markings, and stripped paint showed flashes of metallic ceramite beneath. "I believe that might have been the very first incident of an Astartes seeking to kill another Astartes." Argyltal remembered it well. "The Primarch told me, long ago when I last stood in the City of Grey Flowers, that you had forgiven me for that night." "The Primarch was right." Argyltal narrowed his eyes. "I never asked for your forgiveness. Not for that. It is yours, nevertheless. You still believe I went too far in my methods. I do not. We will never agree upon it. Do you believe you are right in your reaction? To draw a weapon against a brother? To seek to slay a chaplain of your own legion?" "Yes." Argyltal's gaze was unwavering. "I still believe that. I would have killed you had I the chance." Erebus remained impassive. "Beside that first and last betrayal, you were a better student than you give yourself credit for. Loyal, intelligent, and strong of both heart and will."
"Loyal."
Ram's thought was somnolent, barely formed in a veil of fogged weariness. It brought Argyltal on guard, as he expected the demon's intent had been. "Sometimes I wonder," he said, "just how much of our loyalty is written into our blood." Erebus wasn't blind to the inference. "The gene seed changes every legion, but the word-bearers would not follow Aurelian into damnation and triumph with equal passion. We follow him because he is right, not because we must." Argyltal nodded, neither agreeing nor arguing. "I need answers," the Galvorbach commander said. His tone was cold and clear, and Erebus turned upon hearing it. "Is this really the time?" he asked. Argyltal fixed his former mentor with a cynical scowl. "We stand in the midst of two legions brought to extinction by traitorous hands, and walk the first battlefield of an imperial civil war. There will never be a better time to talk of betrayal, Erebus." The slightest edge of a smile colored the chaplain's lips. "Ask," You already know what I would ask, so spare me speaking the question. The Primarch, Erebus was utterly neutral once more, ever the statesman, you would have me relay what we have done to the main Legion fleet for 40 years. There is no time for such discussion. Much of what we learned is contained within the Book of Lorgar. A curl to his lip showed how little Argyltar liked that answer, which, it seems, you have written half of, the Galvorbach lord said. Erebus acquiesced to this with a shallow nod. I have added to the rituals and prayers within, yes, as has Corfiron. We have learned much and have guided the Primarch as often as he has guided us. Argyltar growled his displeasure. Be clearer. As you wish. A moment, please. Erebus knelt to slide his gladius into the throat of a twitching Raven Guard warrior. As they walked on, he wiped blood from the blade with an oiled cloth from his belt pouch. You do not know what it was like, Argyltar. After venturing into the Great Eye, Lorgar was distraught. His faith in the Emperor was already destroyed, and the truth he found at the galaxy's edge tormented him as much as it inspired him. Indecision gripped him for months. Corfiron took command of the fleet for a second time, and we did little but vent our wrath across the worlds we came across. Despite Lorgar's return, the Legion felt no joy from the Primarch's presence. In truth, Aurelian wasn't certain humanity was ready to learn of such horror. Argyltar's skin crawled. Horror? The Primarch's own word, not mine. Erebus nudged another body with his boot. When a rasping breath wheezed from its mouth grill, the chaplain repeated his execution, cleaning the blade again afterwards. The Legion never struggled to adopt the new faith. We are philosophers as much as warriors, and take pride in such. All could see how the gods had seeded their worship into our culture from generations in the past. The constellations, the cults that always look skyward for answers, the old ways themselves. Few word-bearers resisted the truth, for most had always felt it on some level. Few resisted? An uncomfortable thought climbed Argyltar's spine with prickling fingers. Was there a purge? A purge of our own ranks? Erebus weighed his answer before giving it voice. Not all wished to turn to the Imperium. They believed that stagnancy was strength, that stasis was preservation. No such reluctance remains in the Legion now. So Wordbearer had slain Wordbearer, unseen by the eyes of other legions. Argyltar breathed slowly, not wishing to ask, yet unable to resist. How many died? Enough. Erebus took no joy in confessing it. Not many, nothing like the numbers of those who were culled from the faithless legions. But enough. They moved around the charred hull of the Sons of Horus Rhino. The armored personnel carrier's tracks were shattered and scattered like teeth punched from a jaw, while the sloped green hull was pockmarked with bolter fire. Erebus glanced inside. The driver was dead, slain by the shell that destroyed the tank's front plating. His sea-green ceramite ruptured with shrapnel as he lay slack in his seat. Why do I sense that was not your only question? He muttered. Argyltar scratched his cheek, and the motion turned into a subtle check, feeling his face for any further changes. He was himself again, at least for now. The mutations were locked inside his genetic code as the demon slumbered. He knew they'd return soon enough. Just dwelling on the thought was enough to set Raum stirring, the demon slowly writhing in its repose like a creature shifting in its sleep. The custodies, he said. We have suffered a long exile to keep them alive. Zaphen's ritual kept them silenced. Tell me why, Erebus. We have ached to be by the Primarch's side. So has every word-bearer in every one of the Legion's fleets. We are the Galvorbach! Argyltar crashed a fist into the rhino's flank, denting the armor plating. Temper, Argyltar. We, the commander repeated, are the Galvorbach. We brought the truth to the Primarch at the cost of our own souls. I am not demanding glorification. I am asking for a reason why we were kept in exile. Erebus walked on, leaving the tank and the two salamander's warriors it had crushed behind.
You came to reflect a side of the Primarch's doubts, until Corfiran and I were able to reignite his conviction. We traveled to those first worlds we conquered, the ones that we'd allowed the old ways to, in secret, remain, out of respect. On those worlds, Lorgar's passion to enlighten the Imperium was reforged anew. So why were we not recalled? Zaphon's ritual to silence the custodians. I know the ritual, Erebus snapped. I wrote the ritual myself after weeks of communion. Only then did I provide it to Zaphon, and it has been refined each time the invocation was cast. The invocation? A spell? Sorcery. Argyltal shuddered. The word alone was enough to make his skin crawl. On the hillside, the first construction work was beginning on a towering funeral pyre, and a platform for the sons of Horus to aggrandize themselves above the lesser legions. Argyltal and Erebus paid the work little heed. I can read the reluctance in your voice, Argyltal. You do not burn with fervor to kill them, and I will see through any lies you tell me otherwise. I have no desire to slay them. We have grown closer over time, bonding through battle. But I must know why they were ordered to be spared. I need them alive, the chaplain admitted at last. Obviously, Argyltal snorted. But why? Because of what they are. Imagine a life form that cannot reproduce. Imagine it self-replicates instead. But the process is not perfect. It only achieves immortality for its species by creating weaker versions of itself down the generations. We are an example of this. From the Emperor came the Primarchs. From the Primarchs came the true Astartes. We are a species that names the Emperor not only as our inceptor, but our grandfather. Argyltal nodded, waiting for Erebus to continue. He felt the threat of a smile as he recalled their lessons just like this, back in the days of tutor and student, master and acolyte. We are the third generation of this genetic line. But what if our flesh workers, our apothecaries, and our psychically gifted warriors could use our link to the Emperor as a weapon against him? Should we not capitalize on that possibility? Argyltal shrugged a shoulder. I do not see how we could. Erebus chuckled. Think back to the old ways and the lore you know of that faith from archives. Think back to the superstition and dogma that the Emperor had sought to banish from the sphere of human knowledge in his precious Great Crusade. How much of humanity's clearest core beliefs centered around sacrifice and spells fueled by blood. Blood is life. Blood is the focus of a million magics, linking invoker and victim, or serving as an offering to reach the higher powers within the warp. If you have a being's blood, you can tailor a poison to slay them, and no other. A venom bred to end a single life, but to spare all others. And our blood is the blood of the Emperor, Argyltal finished for him. Yes, but it is thinned and filtered by mass production, with too many artificial chemical components making it too weak to use in either alchemy or sorcery. The link to our grandsire is far too tenuous. Alchemy. Sorcery. Argyltal found it starkly ironic that even with a demon in his heart, he hated to hear of these words spoken so lightly. Truly, the winds of change had blown hard in the 4 decades of his unofficial exile. Erebus looked across the battlefield, where the iron warriors were gathering bodies with a blunt efficiency so typical of the Legion's attitude to warfare. Tanks fitted with great plough blades heaved through piles of the slain, sending the bodies tumbling along towards the funeral pyre. "Do you understand?" he asked, without taking his eyes from the funerary work. "You believe the custodians offer a closer link to the Emperor?" "I do. They are born from the same genetic code, though ours was filtered for mass production. They are purer for their rarity, if not their quality." It was an old assumption, and one with no proof, to claim that the Emperor was a Primarch to the Custodian Guard. Argyltal shook his head. You need living custodians for their blood, he said, in the hopes of chasing what may well be a myth. All weapons must be considered, Erebus was composed. No one but the Emperor has ever had the chance to study the Custodes, and knowledge is power. It must be guarded well. We have tried rituals with the blood of 11 legions now, and all results met with disaster. What if we master the secrets of the Custodian genus? We could harness that lore to strengthen ourselves, not simply harm our foes. The Custodians in the main fleet, led by Iacchus, were killed in battle long ago. Aquilon and his minions present one of the few remaining opportunities. Their blood must be born from a beating heart for the rituals to have any hope of success.
Another thought occurred, and Argeltal spoke before considering it.
Are not the Primarchs closest to the Emperor? You could use their blood for these rituals.
Erebus laughed. For the first time in Argeltal's life, he heard the first chaplain really honestly laughing.
Truth, Erebus smiled, from the mouths of babes. Do you see any willing Primarchs? We failed to capture any of the Emperor's sons here, and you will not find Horus or even Aurelian eager to let their blood be manipulated in such a way.
Argeltal hesitated. In his hand, his helm emitted a vox crackle.
My lord,
came the voice of Fleetmaster Torvus. The word-bearer replaced his helm with a deep sigh of reluctance. His clear vision was immediately stained dark and flickered with targeting markers.
This is Argeltal. Sir, our final four ships have broken from the warp. The Oculi Imperator is demanding to board De Profundis immediately. Allow it. It no longer matters. They will have their suspicions, but only evidence would rouse them to fury. We are returning to orbit within the hour and will deal with them then. Has the ship sustained damage? A great deal, but we've held it together through spit, grit, and prayer. The only damage you will consider vital was taken on the Legion's Sanctum deck. Several breaches, but all hull wounds are isolated and secured.
Argeltal swallowed.
The Blessed Lady? Secure and well. A Yukar force investigated not 30 minutes ago. The enemy fleet is dust and wreckage in orbit. How fares the surface battle?
Argeltal scanned the devastation for several moments before answering.
We won, Balok. That's enough for now.
Aquilon walked from the eagle-winged shuttle and onto the empty hangar deck. He'd never seen it so quiet. A hollow space of silent, waiting cranes and idle servitors standing by their wall stations. The Legion was deployed, and everything the word-bearers commanded had been committed to the world below. At the base of the ramp, several figures were waiting for him. Cithran inclined his head in silence. Kalhin and Nerallus likewise didn't salute. It wasn't their custom to show obeisance to anyone but the Emperor, beloved by all. The three warriors held their guardian spears in loose grips, but their body language and postures suggested restraint rather than simply remaining casual. He could read the telltale tension in their muscles, even beneath their golden armor. The other two figures drew Aquilon's attention. The first was Kartik, who offered a deep bow. The old man was sweating in the cold hangar, and his aging heart beat in an accelerated, irregular rhythm. The second was unknown to him, dusky-skinned and keen of eye, daunted by nothing he bore witness to. A brave soul, this one, or reckless.
A curious welcome,
the Oculi Imperator said softly. He was not angry, not yet at least, but his patience had bled dry many hours before. The loss of contact with the Word-Bearer's fleet left him rattled, and this was indeed an unusual welcome. He knew something was wrong the moment he saw his brothers waiting for him below.
Your ships were delayed as well, Aquilon surmised. You were prevented from reaching the battle at all.
All three warriors nodded.
I was first to arrive, Nerallus said, less than 10 minutes ago. The approach to the fleet was a nightmare, and the Auspex chimed out with hundreds of dead ships in the upper atmosphere. It will rain steel on Istvan V for decades to come.
I saw the same, admitted Aquilon. No sign of any vessels bearing the traitor's colours, but the loyal legions have suffered horrendous losses themselves. And the wreckage patterns did not suggest accurate numbers. It seems two legions have been annihilated. Others who were supposed to be present were simply never here.
I have not been able to reach Argeltal, said Kalhin, or anyone else on the surface.
Aquilon looked down at the two humans.
Explain their presence.
Sithran stepped forward and offered Aquilon a bulky plastique pictor rod. The imagifier was of expensive make, that much was clear. Aquilon took it but didn't look at the viewscreen.
You are an imagist?
He asked the human.
Ishak Kadin, the man replied. Yes, I'm an imagist. You activate the...
I know how it works, Ishak Kadin.
Aquilon thumbed the activation setting along the haft, and the small screen blinked into life. Aquilon processed what he was seeing. His education and training at the Emperor's side allowed him a broad view of human capability and the possibilities of technology in union with living things. He had never seen anything quite like this before, but he knew immediately what it had to be. The Ocula Imperator handed the pictor to Ishak, who took it with a mutter of gratitude.
You found this on the Sanctum deck, I assume?
Aquilon inquired.
The monastic deck?
Yes.
Of course.
And then, with infinite dignity, Aquilon reached to unsheathe his blade.
My brothers,
he said,
we are betrayed.
I do not much like our chances against an entire vessel's crew, even with the Legion off ship. What do you suggest?
Asked Kalhin.
First, we find the depths of this betrayal. I must see this madness for myself and tear the truth from the lips of those that keep it. Before we can even consider cutting out the cancer of this rebellion's heart, we must secure passage to Terra and relay every detail to the Emperor. Beloved by all, said Kalhin and Nerilus at once.
Sithran tapped his knuckles to his chestplate over his heart.
Ishak's own, beloved by all,
came a couple of awkward seconds later, though none of the others were paying him any attention anymore.
This will be a great deal of work,
Kalhin grunted.
Who do we interrogate? Asked Nerilus.
There was no doubt in his voice. He didn't ask because he had no idea of an answer. He asked because there were too many possible names, and the decision ultimately rested with Aquilon.
The Fleetmaster? The General?
There's one soul on this ship that has listened to the Word-Bearers whisper their secrets for half a century. We will find this precious soul not far from where you found the evidence of their treachery. Come with me.
How will you get onto the monastic deck?
Kartik was already falling behind, practically ignored by the custodes.
We will kill everyone that stands in our way. Nerilus replied, as if the answer were obvious. Return to your room, old one. It will not be safe at our side.
The custodes moved forward, blades drawn. Aquilon let emotion curl his lip into an ugly snarl.
Cyrene,
he hissed.
Their blessed lady.